The new two-part documentary, Trump's Front Row Joes, is the first inside look at Trump's diehard fans.
The Front Row Joes are incredible people.
Camping out for days to be in the front row at every Trump rally to support their hero.
The kind of basis for all the rallies, there's like dead fans.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer.
You had to love Mr. Donald Trump.
Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you something, brother.
All right, let me tell you something, America. Hello, everybody. This is Todd Starnes. Welcome to 3 hours of testosterone audio right here, ladies and gentlemen, on the Todd Starnes radio program. Wow, what a powerful night yesterday as President Trump took the stage. No, the speech is now over. The president, he delivered a humdinger. This was a stem winder. And I was writing last night on social media that what happened really not just last night, but all week, just sitting back and taking it all in. And there was a lot to take in. But there were a couple of things that a couple of themes that I saw coming out of this week. And I want to talk about those today. We're going to open up the phone lines as well. It's Open Line Friday. And I know many of you are trapped at an airport right now and you can't get to where you're going because of this massive IT outage. It's amazing. Somebody unplugged something and all of a sudden the entire world collapses. Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And we're going to get to your calls today. But I want to talk about a couple of themes, things that I saw coming out of all of this. First of all, it felt to me like some sort of an old-time summertime revival meeting. You know, did your church ever do those in the summertime? You would bring in the preachers and you would have a week of services. That's really that was the feeling I got watching the speeches, listening to the tone and the tenor of what the delegates were saying, what the everyday Americans were saying, what the celebrities were saying. And I came away with a sense that we know what the big problem is in this country, and it is not a political problem, but it's the fact that we've got to get back to church. And I know that there was a little bit of politicking going on, a whole lot of politicking going on over the week, but that's why. It's a Republican Party. It's a political party. But there was a religious flavor to it all, and I like that. I think there was a religious flavor that has not been present in previous conventions, but there was this past week. And what is fascinating about all of this is that it was not overtly in your face proselytizing, right? It wasn't like Franklin Graham preached the gospel in just under 3 minutes. I don't know how a guy does that, but there was a sense of purpose. There was a sense of determination. There was a feeling of hope that came out of these past 4 days of meetings in Milwaukee. And this is the hope that I write about when I'm by the way, guys, we're getting reports of dead air, so if we can look into that. But we are watching across our nation as people come to terms with the fact that we've got big problems, and the big problems require a very simple solution, and that is a return back to our founding principles, the things that truly make America great again. And Donald Trump, I think, Donald Trump gets that. Donald Trump understands that we are indeed seeing the Republican Party, ironically, turn back to God. And we're going to get to that. We're going to talk about that coming up in the show today. Also, there is a return to masculinity in America. And that's what I love about yesterday and last night, watching the lead up to Donald Trump. And if you notice something very interesting, there were no female speakers in this lead up to Donald Trump. This was about beef and brawn. That's what's going on. It was all about beef and brawn. And quite frankly, the theme of the final night of the Republican National Convention was we're making testosterone great again. I mean, when you look at Dana White coming out, as a matter of fact, let's play cut number 9, please.
I'm in the tough guy business, and this man is the toughest, most resilient human being that I have ever met in my life. The higher the stakes, the harder he fights, and this guy never, ever gives up.
No, he doesn't give up, and we're going to play more of Dana White. He gave a powerful, powerful speech. Hulk Hogan, cut number 3.
And I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother. Let Trumpomania rule again. Let Trumpomania make America great again.
And Hulk Hogan ripping a shirt. Can you imagine somebody from over in the UK or France watching? They don't know anything about our politics, and they're watching Hulk Hogan getting up there and literally ripping the shirt off of his giant chest. Could you imagine that? Just unbelievable. It even impressed, believe it or not, Mark Zuckerberg from Meta, cut number 22.
Now, look, I mean, there's obviously a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world. I mean, the historic events over the last, like, over the weekend. And, I mean, on a personal note, it's, you know, I mean, seeing Donald Trump get up after getting shot in the face and pump his fist in the air with the American flag is one of the most badass things I've ever seen in my life. But look, I mean, it's, you know, as, and I think, look, it's, at some level as an American, it's like hard to not get kind of emotional about that spirit and that fight. And I think that that's why a lot of people like the guy.
Yeah. And Zuckerberg said something very interesting before all of that. Zuckerberg said that he was not supporting either candidate. Now, that's a big deal because that is a full repudiation of the Democrats. That's what's really going on here. It's not that we expected Zuckerberg to come out and support Donald Trump. It's the fact that he is rejecting Joe Biden right now. I'm telling you, I came away last night fired up. And I know a lot of people are saying, oh, the speech, it went on and on and on. So what? The guy nearly got his head blown off. Cut him a little bit of a slack, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. But what Trump said in the first few moments of that address last night, absolutely powerful. And what a great testimony to who Donald Trump is as a leader. You know, you really want to know, you hear a lot of people say, oh, so-and-so is a leader. But that's a lot of talk. What you do is you have to put somebody in a situation where they're facing danger, they're facing some sort of adversity, and see if they rise to the occasion. That's when you find out who the leader is, the toughest person in the room. And that person is Donald J. Trump, ladies and gentlemen. The man literally took a bullet to the head, and just a few seconds later was standing up with his fist in the air, shouting, fight, fight, fight. That's an American, and that is an American leader. So, look, we've got a lot of audio to play about what happened last night. Also, following the breaking news of this crazy IT disaster that's impacting everybody across the globe, and we're also following the developments coming out of the Democrat Party, we are watching a full-blown coup happen, and I love it because they're blaming Trump, and they're saying Trump is like the enemy of democracy, when in fact it's the Democrat Party trying to subvert the will of their voters. And who is leading the charge there? We're going to get into all of that. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. It is Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. Joe, Ella J, Georgia. Hi, Joe. What's going on?
Todd, I've got something that probably you've never heard before, never heard anything like this. I had a dear friend, Woody Glenn, who passed away, and we went to a memorial service yesterday in Dalton, and the mayor and all the lot of top people were there. Anyway, Woody was a devoted Donald Trump fan. So I got up at his memorial service. The whole place was full of Trump supporters. And I said, I want to pay tribute to my friend Woody Glenn, who passed on. He was a huge Trump supporter. And everybody liked what I had to say. But I tell you, I was in Dalton, Georgia, and the mayor was there. And I bet I'm the only person that's ever given a political speech at a funeral. But anyway, the whole town's fired up. The mayor was there. So I just want to tell you, I've never seen such passion in my life, passion, fire, and energy for Donald John Trump. So I want to predict on your super radio show that Trump will win a landslide victory and we'll have the best economy and stock market in the history of the world. And Todd, you will help him, and your great radio show will help him to this landslide victory.
All right, Joe, thanks for the call. Good to hear from you. 901-260-5926. You know, it's interesting, the libs of TikTok, they have been leading a crusade since last Saturday. And I have a question about this because a lot of people are conflicted over what libs of TikTok is doing. There are a lot of these lefties out there, and many of them are, and this is shocking, they're in healthcare, they're in the school system, and these people are openly upset that the shooter missed the target. And a lot of these people, for example, a professor at Wingate University is the latest to mock what happened to Donald Trump, to express sympathy to the shooter in some cases. And so libs of TikTok is now exposing all of these people. They're taking screenshots and they're sending these screenshots to their employers. And there's a professor at Wingate University who is no longer employed. She has been removed from staff after she attacked Donald Trump. You think that's a good idea? You think that's a good idea to start exposing these people and saying, you know what, we've got to go. We're not going to let somebody like that teach our kids. But it's really shocking when you look at some of the hate and the vitriol and the people that are literally encouraging people to take shots at Donald Trump. They're literally wanting, they wanted Trump to be assassinated. There is a city councilwoman in Henderson, North Carolina, and she is claiming that the whole thing is fake. It's all made up, that it never happened, that these people are idiots. So anyway, there are a lot of conservatives out there now coming after libs of TikTok, and they're saying, oh, how dare you? Those people have a right to their opinion. Who do you think you are? Well, okay, it's one thing to have an opinion. It's another thing to be a school teacher and to be promoting the assassination of a president of the United States, which, by the way, is a felony. It's a federal crime, just so you know. Anyway, in Henderson, North Carolina, they held an emergency meeting to implement a new social media policy after the city councilwoman, her name is Geraldine Champion, mocked President Trump. here's another one. A Tennessee City Councilwoman, Jenny Welsh, she actually struck down a resolution to condemn the assassination because she claims Donald Trump has incited violence. She says that he was just asking for it. Oh, wow. Is that like victim shaming? So she says Trump was just asking for it. And this is a city council chick. You can tell she's one of these radical nut jobs. She's got the magenta colored hair. Jenny Welsh, a city councilwoman from Nashville, Tennessee. Unbelievable, these people. So I'm curious, do you think we ought to out all of these folks? Do you think we ought to do the screenshots and tag their employers? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Joy Behar, just a few moments ago on The View, here's what she had to say.
I want to point out one thing. I'm speaking to fellow Christians. I was raised Catholic. Huh. I'm a Christian girl. When something like this happens to you, like this assassination attempt, and you say something like God is watching, was watching me, that is a very unchristian thing to say because it's very narcissistic. What about Corey, what's his name? Comfortori, the fireman who also got killed.
I don't know. I think some Christian.
What about all those guys who got killed on Sandy Hook? All of those people.
Yeah.
It's, God was watching me and not watching them. There's something very disturbing about
God should have pulled the plug on that mic yesterday.
Wait, God is the technician now?
Yes.
He'll be right back.
All right, there you go. So you heard Joy Behar blasting Trump for saying that God protected him. Now, look, I'm not God. You're not God. Joy Behar sure as hell isn't God. Who are we to question when God decides to intervene and intercede? And keep in mind that Donald Trump is not an everyday churchgoer, but Donald Trump understands this one fact, that what happened to him over the weekend was a miracle. It was a miracle. Now, as far as, and you heard Joy, but this is why these leftists, Joy Reid is out there, and Joy Reid is attacking Donald Trump, and she can't even remember the name of the firefighter. Corey, what's his name? That's what she said. Corey, what's his name? These are the kind of people that we are dealing with here. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926. It is open line Friday. That's 901-260-5926. Again, glad to have everybody with us today. Apologize for the tech glitch in the early segments of the show, but we are back up and running on all of our social media platforms as well as Rumble, and you can watch us there as well. Folks, want to tell you about our great friends over at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. And Patriot Mobile was at the RNC. Man, they had one of the most popular booths out there. Patriot Mobile, they are working hard and putting their money where their mouth is. You say, well, Tom, what do you mean by that? Well, they're actually putting the cause, the conservative cause, ahead of profits. Patriot Mobile donated to all sorts of incredible groups, including Folds of Honor and Tunnel to Towers. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team, and they make switching so easy. You get to keep your phone, you get to keep your number, or you can upgrade your phone if you'd like to. Their team is going to help you find the very best plan for you. Go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd right now. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. You will get free activation by using the offer code Todd. Again, that's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Call 972-PATRIOT. Be sure to use that offer code Todd. You will get free activation. All right, hang tight, folks. We have a full show lined up for you. We're going to be talking to Congressman Tim Burchett. He's got some new intel on the assassination attempt. Also, Pastor Robert Jeffress is going to be here. And Liz Peek from TheHill.com, she's got a great new column up as well. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Folks, we are still dealing with a lot of unknowns when it comes to what exactly happened at the Trump rally last Saturday. But I can tell you this, there are some disturbing developments. This is Congressman Mike Waltz. He was on Fox News last night. Cut number 20.
I mean, I just talked to one of the agents a few hours ago. I talked to some Sunday. The agents are pissed. They're frustrated. They've repeatedly asked for resources. Donald Trump isn't your normal average former president. He's not Jimmy Carter sitting in the old folks home. And oh, by the way, some other things are coming out, like the shooter had three encrypted accounts overseas. At the same time, we're having an Iranian plot. I think this is going to go much broader, much deeper, but the agents are going to hold her to account. Their lives on the lines, and she was not giving the resources they were requesting. But one other thing, Jesse, that Pittsburgh field office was the one responsible for the advance. That was clearly not done appropriately and distracted by Dr. Jill.
And the Pittsburgh field office was also responsible for covering up that bribery Ukraine tip that came in as well. Are you saying that you're getting information that says there's encrypted communications between crooks and foreign sources?
What we know, and this was on the briefing we just received, he had three encrypted overseas accounts the FBI is trying to get into.
What do you mean by overseas accounts?
Well, we know that they were based in servers overseas, and so you've got to work over there with the FBI liaisons overseas to start getting into them through their authorities.
Do you believe this attempt on the former president's life has some sort of foreign nexus?
Well, we know the Iranians have been trying for years, not only him, but everybody, Pompeo and others, involved in the Soleimani strike. And we also know, it's finally come out, many of us have been fighting this for years, that they pulled National Security Advisor O'Brien's detail completely away. He's had to go to his own private security and local law enforcement. So there is all kinds of issues here, and we're going to get to the bottom of it starting on Monday.
Yeah, I'm just not so sure I believe everything that I'm being told about what's inside his phone yet. I just don't trust the people doing this investigation.
Yeah, I don't trust him either. That's Jesse Waters. I don't trust him either. Do you trust him? Do you think the FBI is really going to get to the bottom of this? They still haven't released the manifesto from the Nashville shooter, who, by the way, and have you seen, there are photographs circulating on social media now of what this guy really looks like. So the media has been using the 10th grade or the 9th grade high school yearbook photo. This guy was a sleazoid, and it looked like he was transitioning, or at least he was pretending to be a girl, wearing the dress and the negligee, having the long hair, and got the face piercings, the whole nine yards. This guy was a freak show. But again, the early narrative is this guy had no social media, no digital platform. That's what they were telling us. Absolutely no digital platform. That's what the Secret Service and the FBI were telling us, that he had no digital footprint at all. But now we know that this guy not only had a digital footprint, it was a pretty big one, and that coming from a sitting United States congressman who says that this guy has at least three encrypted offshore accounts. Now, we don't know what those accounts are. You heard Jesse Waters ask. It could be something innocuous, but I don't think so. This news coming from Senator Josh Hawley, he says whistleblowers have come forward, and they're saying that Homeland Security assigned unprepared and inexperienced personnel to the Trump event, and they were not even Secret Service agents. According to Hawley, in a letter that he sent to Alejandro Mayorkas, he says that detection canines were not used to monitor entry or detect threats in the usual manner. Individuals without proper designation were able to gain access to backstage areas. How does that even happen? I have been to so many Trump events. And by the way, I was one of the keynote speakers at a Trump event. And you have to, the level of security that you have to go through, even if you are on the podium, on the platform, is off the charts. This is shocking. According to Senator Hawley, department personnel did not appropriately police the security buffer around the podium and were not stationed at regular intervals around the event security perimeter. In addition, the whistleblower alleges that the majority of DHS officials were not, in fact, Secret Service agents, but were drawn from the department's Homeland Security investigations. This is especially concerning given that Homeland Security agents are unfamiliar with standard protocols typically used in these types of events. Now, why is that important? Go back to the original audio of the Trump assassination attempt. And Dylan, if we've got that, let me know because we'll play it. But if you go back and listen, you will hear a female agent who we believe to be a Secret Service agent, but maybe she wasn't. Maybe this person wasn't a Secret Service agent, and maybe that's why she said what she said. And you remember the audio. She said, what do we do now? What do we do? What do we do? So this lines up with what the whistleblower is telling Senator Josh Hawley. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926.
Something that said, take a look at what happened. Oh.
What are we doing? What are we doing? There you go. Right there. Ladies and gentlemen, it has now been 6 days since the assassination attempt, and we have not just more questions, we have thousands more questions and zero answers. Secret Service not saying anything. Homeland Security not saying anything. The White House allegedly telling the Secret Service, you say anything, there'll be hell to pay. This is why people are beginning to suspect that this is much bigger than just a security mix-up or screw-up. By the way, there has been multiple reports now of a second gunman. Now, nobody from the government's confirming this at all. They're not denying it. They're not confirming it. But the reporting is that there may have been some sort of a figure, someone on top of a water tower, and that person may have been a second shooter. So, again, we're not getting any answers from anybody. And until that happens, you're going to have a lot of conjecture. You're going to have a lot of people speculating here and a lot of theories coming out. And certainly those theories are very disturbing. But if nothing else, we now know, based on the reporting of the whistleblower, that President Trump was put in a situation where somebody could have easily taken him out. Also, we understand the shooter had a second phone, a second cell phone. We don't know who he was trying to call, who he had called on that second phone. Was there someone else there? Were there accomplices? Was this more than just a 20-year-old who hated Trump and decided to take out the former president? By the way, Bongino now reporting, and Bongino, retired Secret Service agent, he's going to have the best intel on all of this. Bongino is saying that this guy apparently had scoped out the entire area a few days before and had pre-positioned the gun. That was a question one of our listeners had yesterday. How is it that the gun was able to get through the security area? And it looks like this guy pre-positioned all of this stuff. And nobody caught this on the sweep? Nobody got up? Oh, I know it's a sloped roof. It's very dangerous. But nobody got up there? Nobody? You're telling me that nobody got up on that roof just to take a look? Very fishy, ladies and gentlemen. What say you? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Did you know that oil, coal, and natural gas are not the climate villains that the legacy media asks us to believe that they are? Did you know that 8 billion people will eat just today because fossil fuels ran the sophisticated machinery that produced all the food necessary to do so? Or how they power the complex heating and cooling systems to keep people alive through extreme temperatures? What would you do without AC or heat? Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I want you to know the facts. Please go to oilfacts.com and get educated today on these critical facts, the need for American energy, and what we can do to keep billions more catastrophic deaths from happening. These facts are irrefutable. Oilfacts.com. That's oilfacts.com. These facts are brought to you by Prairie Operating Group, dedicated to safe and responsible production of American energy.
Just lower this, Dylan. I want us to be able to hear all of this. Trump was sending a message. This was the last song that was performed at last night's RNC. And a lot of people thought it was a little weird. But I want to explain what's going on here. Trump is sending a message. And it's brilliant. This is absolutely brilliant. So there is a movie called The Sum of All Fears. And it's a great movie if you love... it's a political thriller, and it involves very horrible people doing very awful things to the United States. And they are basically a new breed of Nazis. And they explode a nuclear bomb in Baltimore, the whole nine yards. Anyway, it's a great film. So at the end of the movie, as the Russians and the whole point of this movie was that there were these Nazis in Europe that were trying to turn the Americans and the Russians against each other. They wanted the Americans and the Russians to go to war with each other. And so they were staging all of these attacks, and Russia was blaming America. America was blaming Russia. And then there's a big nuclear explosion at a football game in Baltimore. And it's a great movie. You got to watch the movie. Ben Affleck stars in it. Great all-star cast. So anyway, at the end of the movie, as everything has been resolved and the Russian president and the American president are signing a peace accord, while all of that is playing out, that song is playing in the background as we see every single one of the Nazis either being shot in fields or cars blown up, or throats slit. And that beautiful Italian song there is being performed in the background. Trump was sending a message to the deep state. And there will be retribution. And there are people that are conspiring to get us into a war with Russia. And that was one of the most brilliant moves, I thought, of the entire Republican National Convention. As beautiful and as unifying as the message was, there is going to be a day, and that day will come. No man will know the time nor the hour, but payback is coming. That's the message here. Now, I have a question for you. Do you feel the unity? Do you feel unified? Did they accomplish that mission? Did the Republicans accomplish that mission with these 4 days in Milwaukee, Wisconsin? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And I'm curious, because that is the theme here, was to unify the party to bring in fresh voices, fresh blood, and take on the Democrats, whoever that may be. By the way, the reporting out of Newsmax is that President Biden is expected to step down sometime over the weekend. But I'm not too sure about that, to be honest with you, folks, because Joe Biden is enraged right now, and it's the wife. Biden may want to step down. Biden may say, you know, I'm just tired of climbing the stairs and talking to people. And he may be ready to call it a day and go to the nursing home. But it's Dr. Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden. She's the one. And she doesn't want to leave. She doesn't want to go. So they're having all of these conversations, and it's going to get very ugly because they're not going to go willingly, as we now know. So what's happening behind the scenes now, they're trying to come up with some dollar amount that will be enough for the Bidens to exit stage left. I'm not sure that's even going to work now. And then the other issue is that the donors, they do not want Kamala Harris running for the White House. There will not be any money there for Kamala Harris. Frank Luntz, by the way, the political strategist and the pollster, says that there are three Democrats who could beat Donald Trump, and not one of them is Kamala Harris. According to Frank Luntz, he says the following people could beat Donald Trump, one of them being Cory Booker, the senator from New Jersey. The other, is he still a confirmed bachelor? The other is Wes Moore, the governor of Maryland. Both of those guys are black guys. And then Mitch Landrieu, who is the former mayor of New Orleans. He is a white guy. I don't think Landrieu's got a shot because, well, he's a white guy. But the other two, I don't know. I think if I were the Democrats, I would just go ahead and chalk up the White House. It's a given. Donald Trump's going to be reelected. But Luntz says the problem is Kamala Harris. And he said there will be a war within the Democrat Party if Harris is picked because so many of the donors don't like her. So it could be that the Democrats try to focus all of their attention, all of their fire on the Senate and the House. But I'm telling you, folks, let's look at the post-debate polling or the post-convention polling, and let's see where things are here. Trump is already up. There was some new polling that came out from the Trafalgar Group late last night. Trump is up by 3 or 4 points in battleground Michigan and battleground Wisconsin. So that's what we're looking at here. Let's go to Lakeland, Tennessee. Jim, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Jim. What's on your mind?
I think they're giving Biden some time to see how they're going to pardon Hunter for what he's done, and then how much money the Dems will pay him to step down.
Well, so, yeah, look, that's a great point. And Hunter is in a world of criminal liability right now. And he's waiting for daddy's pardon, and he will need daddy's pardon, or Hunter's going to be spending quite a bit of time in federal prison. So yeah, I think there's a lot to that.
Well, he's going to have to pardon him before he steps down, or either whoever's behind him is going to be a deal to pardon him, one or the other.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I will say this, Jim. Biden can't even trust his fellow Democrats to issue a pardon. So if he were to step aside, I don't think Kamala Harris would be willing to give Hunter a pardon. So he's going to have to do that. I think the Bidens now are about to go scorched earth on everybody because they feel like they have been betrayed, which they have been, by their party.
Well, they'll do anything to get back in office or try to get somebody back in that office, even their own. It's kind of like what we call hamster love. They'll eat their own, you know.
Some of those San Francisco Democrats know a thing or two about hamsters. Jim, good hearing from you, my friend. All right, take care. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. All right, we've got a full show coming your way. Pastor Robert Jeffress is going to be here. Congresswoman Erin Hochin is going to join us from Indiana. Liz Peek, Tim Burchett, your calls. Wow, it's going to be a great Friday. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRight ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRight, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, Hour 2, as we catapult into the election cycle. And, wow, we've got a lot to talk about regarding the Democrats and their so-called super delegates. So we're going to tell you all about that in just a little while. Hang tight if you're on hold. It is Open Line Friday, and we're going to get to your calls momentarily. 901-260-5926. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome back our good friend. He is the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, host of the incredible TV program Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Dr. Jeffress, hope you're doing good today.
I am, Todd. Great to be with you.
You know, we were talking in the last hour about the last 4 days in Milwaukee. I know Senator Marsha Blackburn said it sort of had the feel of an old-time revival tent meeting that we used to have so many years ago in the southern states. How did you find the convention? What were your impressions?
Well, I think there were a lot of great moments in the convention, but I believe certainly the climax was last night in President Trump's speech. You know, I think the first part of the speech, he was very honest and transparent about the experience he had had. I've known President Trump for 9 years. I've known he always believed in the power of God, but I think this may be the first time he's experienced it in such a personal way. But Todd, there was a pivot from that was so noticeable, is as if he were saying, but don't be under the false assumption that my personal experience is in any way changing my resolve or my agenda. If anything, it's causing me to double down on it. And I think that was interesting to see and watch. He is absolutely committed to the agenda he has to turn this nation around.
It did seem like, I mean, it was the regular Trump there, but there was something different about him. And again, we're talking about 5 days after nearly getting your head blown off. So I'm sure I have to imagine he's processing a lot of that information.
And I've seen this in other people when they've gone through an event like this. You don't go through an event like this without it affecting you deeply. Some people, it does change their beliefs. It does change the direction they're going in. But other people decide to double down in the direction they're going. And I think that's what's happened with President Trump.
If you don't mind, Dr. Jeffress, I wanted to play some audio. This is from The View, Joy Behar, their resident theologian.
Oh, God.
Here's what she had to say about President Trump, and I want to get your take.
I want to point out one thing. I'm speaking to fellow Christians. I was raised Catholic. I'm a Christian girl. when something like this happens to you, like this assassination attempt, and you say something like, God is watching, was watching me, that is a very unchristian thing to say because it's very narcissistic. What about Corey, what's his name? Compratore, the fireman who also got killed.
I don't know. I think some Christians.
What about all those guys who got killed?
Dr. Jeffers, how do you respond to Joy Behar there?
Well, God was watching President Trump, and he was also watching that firefighter. He has a plan for each one of us. The Bible teaches that. The Bible says all the days of our life are written in God's book before there's one of them. The date of our birth, the date of our death, and everything in between is all planned by God for a great eternal purpose. So those people on The View need to read their Bible or at least open it for the first time.
Oh, that's wise advice. You know, Dr. Jeffers, there had been a subtext, which I think would have been greater had it not been for the events of last weekend. A lot of people that you and I both know very concerned about the removal of some key issues from the party platform, which I think was maybe a good wake-up call for the evangelical community to understand that the Republican Party is not a Christian organization, it's a political party, and that, you know, the evangelicals are a part of a much broader coalition of groups.
Well, that's right. And let me just say something about the abortion issue. You and I are both very pro-life. Donald Trump is pro-life, but he's also a realist. And we've talked about this a number of times over the last couple of years. This national ban on abortion that we would all like to see, let's be honest, you have to have 60 votes in the Senate to get it done, and that's not going to happen. And it is absolutely a fool's errand to try to, you know, divide with one another over a procedure that's never going to happen. I think the best way Donald Trump can continue his pro-life position is by appointing federal judges and justices, and in his next term, he's going to have an opportunity to probably appoint a couple of more Supreme Court justices. That's the best way to exercise your pro-life belief.
Yeah, I think that's a great observation and a great way to look at it. And again, if you're someone like President Trump or even a Republican operative, and you're seeing those pro-life votes going down in massive defeats, what, 7 times already? That is, you've got to really rethink your political strategy there. And I know that kind of bothers a lot of people, but the reality is, we're talking about politics. This is not the church. We're talking about politics here.
That's right. And if he's not elected, President Trump isn't elected, you're going to have Joe Biden or who's going to replace him appointing those Supreme Court justices. You've got to win first to be able to influence.
Well said. Dr. Robert Jeffers, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. Now, Dr. Jeffers, I know that you and I were very close to a good man who passed away yesterday, the great Lou Dobbs, dying, and we shared that news. It broke during our Newsmax show last night. You were pretty close to Lou.
I was, and I got to pray with him yesterday, just a few hours before the Lord took him home to heaven. Lou Dobbs was a courageous journalistic warrior, but he was also a very committed Christian. And he and Debbie watch our iCampus regularly, and we've remained friends through the years. And, you know, on one of the last programs I was on with Lou, he was so concerned about the state of our country. He said, Pastor, would you lead us in a prayer for our country? Now, this is on a secular news station, but Lou Dobbs wasn't afraid to show his faith in God, and I'll always be grateful for his friendship.
He was always kind, and he and I worked together for a number of years at a cable television network, and he was just the real deal. The Lou Dobbs you saw on TV is the same Lou Dobbs that you would see in the hallway.
And I tell you, President Trump thought so much of him. I was sometimes in the Oval Office with President Trump when he would just call Lou and put him on speakerphone. During cabinet meetings, he would call Lou or have Lou call in. He really valued the opinion of Lou Dobbs. We're going to miss him greatly.
We really are. And he was one of the great ones. Pastor, before we let you go, you know, there was a lot of talk about unity last night. You know, the interesting thing is you really can't have unity in politics. That's the whole point of politics. You got one side, you've got the other side. But in the sense of the Republicans coming together and getting those coalitions of people together, and you have to have those coalitions to win elections. How do we stay unified as we move to November?
Well, unity is highly overrated, Todd. look, and it's certainly not worth it when it comes at the price of truth. You cannot sacrifice truth to have a false kind of unity. So I would say, you know, as Christians in the church, Ephesians 4 calls us to unity. It doesn't mean we have to be the same, but we have to agree on the same basic beliefs. You know, the Old Testament says, how can two people walk together lest they be agreed? And that's true in the church, it's true in marriage, and it's true in politics. It's not that you agree on everything, but if you don't agree on the basic foundational truths, there really is no unity.
Well said, well said. Well, Pastor, we're going to leave it there. Always good hearing from you. You're doing well?
Doing great. Everything at the church. We had 2,000 kids down here this week for Vacation Bible School. And 115 of them came to know Christ as Savior yesterday, and that's what really is important.
Well, that is. Well, that's why I was asking. When you've got 2,000 kids at VBS, you need a couple of weeks vacation after that.
Well, I'm leaving tomorrow.
Good, there you go. Good for you. All right. Well, Dr. Jeffers, always good hearing from you, and hope you and Mrs. Jeffers have a great vacation.
Great to talk to you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
All right. There you go, folks. The official chaplain of the Todd Stearns Radio Show, Dr. Robert Jeffers. What a great guy. And if you don't follow they have a wonderful iChurch campus, and the preaching is just phenomenal. But certainly we want to remember Lou and his family. I'm so glad that Pastor Jeffers was there to be able to pray with Lou in his final moments before passing into glory. All right, here's the deal. We're going to take a call right now, and then we're going to open it up. It is Open Line Friday. That means you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Jackie in Oregon, KYKN. Hi, Jackie. What's on your mind?
Hi. I hope I can say this right. I have a concern since Biden won't step down that they're going to use Trump's assassination attempt to assassinate Biden and blame it on Trump as retaliation for the the attempt. And I call what we're calling the left, or the Democratic Party isn't the Democratic Party, and I call it the One World Dictatorship Party, because I believe that's what they're trying to do. And Trump should have the same kind of protection that the Pope has, and it should be hand-picked men, not our Secret Service anymore.
Well, now, Jackie, based on the reporting out there and the whistleblower, those weren't even Secret Service agents, a good many of them. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, that's just shocking. So you think here, and I'm trying to follow your thinking here, so you think that they may try to do something to Biden and blame Trump or MAGA world for it.
Right. As retaliation for the assassination attempt. Yeah. I have a fear that that'll happen.
Jackie, that's dark,
but it
Jackie.
Makes sense coming from that evil party, you know?
Yeah. No, it's dark, but you hate to think that something like that could happen, but you never know. And that's actually that's a good thought there for us to be on the lookout for something like that. Jackie. Wow. All right. Jackie, you know we're coming to Oregon. KYKN, bringing us to town.
Oh, I didn't know.
Well, I'm going to tell you about it now, Jackie. go to KYKN.com, and KYKN.com, all the details are there, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be doing a book event at a great burger joint there. I'm trying to call this information up. Here we go. This is happening coming up in August 7th at the Bow and Vine Burger Bar. I hear they've got really good burgers, Jackie.
How do you spell that, Bow and Vine?
B-O and Vine, V-I-N-E, Bow and Vine Burger Bar. But if you go to KYKN.com, all the information is there. You can get tickets, and your tickets include an autographed book, a lunch for two, and they say it's a mouth-watering burger, and you get a picture with me.
Awesome.
That may be discounted. I don't.
I have to say, you know, I've never been political in my life until the last few years. and Trump, the last time he was put in office, it was miraculous. It was definitely supernatural. He should have lost at all odds. And it's obvious, I think, that God is on God. You know, Trump is part of God's plan for the United States.
I believe that, Jackie. And I know, you know, a lot of people are not all that religious. None of us are really big theologians, so we may get the wording wrong. But I do believe that God intervened on Saturday. And I do believe it was the hand of God that diverted that bullet away from President Trump's brain. I just deeply believe that.
And it is God who will put him in office, not people. And people praying, getting on their knees, you know, our country getting back to God and being on their knees praying, that's what will put him in office.
Jackie, it's
you
a
know,
good...
I have to say,
yeah.
I can't vote. I'm an American, and I cannot... They won't allow me to vote because I don't live in a residential area, but they let all these illegal aliens who
what?
Hate freedom and life...
Well, if I were you, I'd contact your local Republican Party, Jackie, and they'll get you helped out with all of that lickety-split. So, yeah, definitely give them a call. Jackie, I am super late for a break. And again, to all of our listeners in the Salem, Oregon area, it's going to be a big event coming up August the 7th at the Bow and Vine Burger Bar. You can get all of your tickets. This is a ticketed event. There's a limited number of spaces available, but you're going to get lunch for two, an autographed book. You're going to be able to do a photo op with yours truly. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we want you to be a part of it. Go to KYKN.com. That's KYKN.com. All right, we've got to take a break. Again, Open Line Friday, whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about today. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
They're Trump's most diehard fans in the front row at every Trump rally.
You had to love the United States of America. You had to support Mr. Donald Trump's re-election.
Trump's Front Row Joes is the new two-part documentary offering the first inside look at the men and women standing shoulder to shoulder with Trump in the greatest political movement in American history.
The kind of basis for all the rallies, there's like dead fans.
Like-minded people following their hero all around the country, exhausting their bank accounts, camping out for days in the freezing cold and scorching heat to support Trump's re-election and make America great again.
The Front Row Joes are very successful, incredible people.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer, former White House press secretary and communications director for President Donald J. Trump.
Friendships I've made over the years as a Front Row Joe, it's probably the best part of it.
Don't miss Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
All right. Tomorrow, the very first Trump J.D. Vance rally, and you're going to be able to watch that on Newsmax, and yours truly will be hosting the big Trump rally. So you'll be able to watch that tomorrow on Newsmax, and hope you will make plans to watch that exclusively on Newsmax. You know, we're the only network that covers all of the Trump rallies uninterrupted. So we're going to have a lot of fun, and I hope you will join our TV audience tomorrow. Let's go to the beautiful state of Georgia. Anita is on the line. Hi, Anita. What's going on?
Oh, it's, you know, how are you?
I'm well. What's on your mind, Anita? Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to answer your question about the unity. I don't think it was so much they just all of a sudden love Donald Trump kind of unity, but they realize he is going to be the president and they have to go along to get along.
No doubt about that.
And their careers are over.
And I don't think it's about love. I think it's about respect. And Donald Trump loves it. You know, it's almost these speeches over this past week, Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis. These were almost kiss the ring speeches. You know what I mean?
Right. I agree.
All right, Anita.
It was like they had to save face.
Exactly. Anita, thank you for that call. Let's go to Maria in North Carolina. Hi, Maria. What say you?
Good afternoon, Todd. Hi, doing fine. Thank you. I was just remembering, I'm calling regarding the assassination attempt. I just remember back in January, there was an article in the New York Post where a couple of journalists were caught on a hot mic making jokes about someone trying to assassinate President Trump as they did Kennedy. And I just don't think we'll ever get any answers until Trump is in office, because when the FBI is questioned, all they will say is we can't discuss any details on a case that is currently under investigation. I mean, it'll be hour after hour with just that response.
Yeah, it's a great point, Maria. And that story you're talking about, the journalists were literally caught on a hot microphone and they were talking about Trump being assassinated, just like JFK. They're waiting for the motorcade to drive by. These are some pretty evil, demented people, Maria.
Yes, they are.
All right. But you know what, Maria? There are a lot more of us than there are of them. And I say be loud, be proud, wave your Trump flags, wear your Trump shirts, wear those red MAGA ball caps. I'm telling you, folks, I'm feeling great about the fall, and I'm excited that Donald Trump is going to make America great again. All right, 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Breaking news, Brian, that I want to get to regarding President Biden. And this is a statement that's just out, coming over the Reuters wires for us. Biden says he looks forward to getting back on the campaign trail next week. And he says Donald Trump's dark vision is not who we are as Americans. It's not much of a statement, but it is notable because, again, there are increasing calls for him to drop out of the race, including a number of lawmakers today, five congressmen, lawmakers, and one senator, at least.
All right, there you go. That information just coming out from BSNBC, and they're now saying Biden is in the race. He is not dropping out, and it doesn't matter how many Democrats have abandoned him. But we're talking about dozens of sitting congressmen that have said they're done. They're no longer supporting Biden. Nancy Pelosi behind the scenes. The problem here is this. That our information is that Biden has insulated himself. The circle is very, very small. We're talking about a tiny number of Biden advisors, along with Hunter and Mrs. Dr. First Lady Jill. And they're the ones that are advising Joe Biden. So Biden may not even be aware of how bad it is for him out there. But as it stands right now, they have declared war on Barack Obama. And they are defying the party apparatus. This is really going to be fascinating to watch unfold, especially as we move towards August. So there are some deadlines coming up that the Democrats have to meet. Otherwise, Biden cannot be on the ballot in Ohio. It's a lot of fun, and it's going to get even better. All right, let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Aaron, WLOB in Portland, Maine. Hi, Aaron. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. How are you doing today? I just wanted to bring attention to one of the speakers that I don't really feel got enough attention, and that was Eric Trump. I listened to his speech last night, and I have to admit, I'm not a very emotional person at all. And I, you know, after hearing him, I think if you just really listen to him with your heart, and if you just remove his name and listen to what it is that he said to America, I really, really think that speech had more unity than a lot of the other speakers. His apology to the American people, to our veterans, just, you know, it really says something about his character and what I think he values that's important to the everyday American person. And I was just kind of surprised that his speech didn't get kind of as much attention as some of the other people. And don't get me wrong, the RNC was full of great speakers. I watched a good majority of it for the 4 days. Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch everyone because, I mean, I have a life to live too. But yeah, I definitely think Eric Trump definitely did a phenomenal job. And I would like to hear him speak maybe a little more often, and just to seeing what it is that he has to say. I think he's got I think he's very well spoken, and I think he's got great insight.
You know, he is the quieter of the brothers and doesn't really do a lot of interviews. I think Don Jr. is out there. He's doing the, you know, he's out there. He's doing it. But Eric is running the family business, and you're right. Look, I think he is a very thoughtful man. And you're right, Aaron. When I think back to what that part of the speech where you're right, he was saying to all of you people that, you know, to the veterans, we're sorry and we're going to fix that. And he just went down the list of all the things the Democrats had done to people groups. And he said, we're going to fix this. And you're right. I thought it was a poignant moment, but there was just so many. There were so many great speeches, Aaron.
Yes, there was. Phenomenal speakers. I really enjoyed the RNC this year. I honestly, I don't know if it can be topped, but I definitely am going to watch more of them in the future, and my fingers are crossed that we just get better and better each time.
Absolutely. Aaron, God bless you, and thank you for listening. You know, there was another compare and contrast. I mean, you see the images of Donald Trump. He's sitting there in the presidential booth. He's got the grandkids jumping all over him. He's got his beautiful family there. All of the spouses are there. Melania came out, and man, did Melania Trump look stunning last night. Stunning. And yet this beautiful woman has never been allowed to grace the covers of the magazines like the other first ladies. Or Michelle Obama. I'm just saying, they completely ignore the beauty of Melania Trump. It was just a jaw-dropping entrance. And I don't know, she's got a lot of other stuff to do. She's worrying about raising her son, Barron. A lot of people are asking, where was Barron? I know the president called him out. I didn't see him in the crowd. He's sort of easy to pick out of the crowd. He's a tall fella. And I don't know, maybe he was getting ready, you know, he's getting ready to go off to college, so there may be issues there with getting to school and getting, I don't know. I don't know where Barron was. A lot of people are asking about it. But all that to say, when you see President Trump's beautiful family up there, they all love the man. There's a genuine affection. You can see it. You can feel it. You can sense it. And then you look at Joe Biden's family, the Biden crime syndicate, where you've got the one daughter, Ashley, who looks like she's been strung out on something, coming back from rehab, having the naked showers with her father. You got Hunter, drugged up, drunk, hanging out with hookers, prostitutes, you name it, snorting everything up his nose. You've got the one love child who's not even recognized as a granddaughter. I mean, that family, it is a mess, a complete mess. And I don't see any love there. I don't know about you, but when the Biden crime syndicate comes out on the balcony of the White House for these big events, do you sense any love there? I sense anxiety. I sense tension. I see hate. I see division. I don't see love. I don't see any of it. But maybe that's just me. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, by the way, the Democrats, of course, are calling for America to tone it down, right? That's the messaging that came out of Biden's address the other night from the White House. We've got to tone it down. Here's AOC, cut 18.
Donald Trump is also very old and a racist and a neo-Nazi. But anyways, I'm not even going to talk about Trump right now.
Jeez, all of that. So they're back to calling him a neo-Nazi. And yet there's absolutely no evidence of that at all. They also call him an anti-Semite, and his grandkids are Jewish. Go figure that. I want to play some other audio here. This is Donald Trump, and he's, I want you to, he was talking about this. Well, you know what? We're going to save this. We're going to save that audio. Going to take a break. We'll be right back. All right. This crazy Microsoft glitch. I want to give you an update here. People, they are still struggling. A lot of companies around the nation still struggling to get back up and running as a result of this Microsoft outage. There are thousands of people stranded right now at Milwaukee's International Airport. A lot of Republicans trying to get back home, and they're not able to do so because of the flight systems being down. Also, a lot of major cities have declared emergencies because 911 operations went down, all because of something called CrowdStrike. So the way it's being explained to us is that the Microsoft was in the process of doing an upgrade on a security mechanism, and that's when it all went to hell in a handbasket. Elon Musk announcing they have deleted CrowdStrike from all of their systems, and Microsoft is saying that this update impacted IT systems globally. They're calling it the worst IT breakdown in history. And that's where we're at right now. Laura Loomer is reporting that the president of CrowdStrike and the chief security officer served under the Obama-Biden FBI. And she's pointing out, isn't it weird that the CrowdStrike global outage happened during President Trump's nomination speech last night at the RNC convention? Sean Henry is the chief security officer and president of CrowdStrike Services. He joined in 2012 after retiring from the FBI senior executive service. So there's that for you. So a lot of people are already trying to connect the dots there and suggest there's something more to this than just some sort of a glitch. But I'm telling you, it took out everything. Even here in Memphis, Tennessee, the police department was impacted. FedEx, by the way, if you're expecting a FedEx package today, they say it may be delayed, for what it's worth. I want to go back to President Trump's incredible speech last night. And look, could it have been shorter? Yeah, okay. And I get it. But look, this man, what was happening last night I thought was cathartic for the president. He needed to get out there. He had a lot to say. He had a lot on his mind. And I think it was, honestly, I think everybody should have just taken a step back, even the people in the leftist media, and said, let this guy have his time here. It's the least we can do. His head nearly got blown off. It's the least we can do. So anyway, there was a moment when President Trump was talking about what happened. And I'm not sure if you caught this. I asked the guys to pull this audio because I think that what happened to the president on Saturday is having a profound impact on him to this moment. Cut number 7.
I'm not supposed to be here tonight. Not supposed to be here. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yeah. Thank you. But I'm not. And I'll tell you, I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God.
That, to me, if you're asking me what was the most poignant moment in the entire convention, it was that moment right there. Because you heard the president, and I understood exactly what he was saying, and this crowd, I mean, it was this, if the crowd could just rush up and give him a big old bear hug. Give the guy a Trumpy bear, for crying out. Your heart is anguishing for this guy because he's put it all out there. And you heard this over and over again. People like Dana White, and Dana White said, hey, look, I don't carry anybody's water. Nobody tells me what to do. But I'm telling you, I'm voting for this man, and this man is the real deal. This man is not the monster that he is portrayed in the national media. Don't they make you sick? These journalists out there, folks, I just find them repulsive, disgusting human beings. And we hear this a lot now. We used to, local news used to be isolated from the liberalism to a large extent. I mean, it was, yeah, the newspapers have always been left-leaning. But even on the TV side, you would get a few conservatives every now and again. Even on the local level, it's all been infected. These people are sick. I had to stop myself. They are sick human beings. That's what I will say about that. And shame on all of them. In a way, I believe that a lot of these people in the mainstream media, they are just as guilty as the guy that pulled that trigger on Saturday. That's my thought on that. But I'm telling you, this man and that one moment, and I'm going to be writing a piece over the weekend about this, but I truly believe that we are looking at a man who is not only, a lot of people think, oh, he's just going to be a kinder and gentler Trump. He's going to be like that little Trumpy bear. No, I don't think so. That's not it. I think the president is going to, has been sobered by this. Now, I know Trump doesn't drink. That's not what I'm talking about. But I believe his resolve to do what needs to be done has been solidified by the events of the past few days. And I do believe that that is going to change the direction and what this president wants to do. I certainly think he understands the urgency of the issues at hand, that we don't have a lot of time to fix what is broken in this country, and it's going to take a long time. It's going to take us beyond the Trump administration these 4 years to fix what is broken. Now, I'm curious. Trump's going to be the president. I truly believe that. And here's my question. What is the first order of business? What is it that you want to see Donald Trump do when he gets into that White House? For me, it's the roundups. I say we just rip that Band-Aid right off and we start rounding up people. As soon as the last ballot is cast and counted on election night, President Trump ought to get out there, and as he celebrates, he ought to tell every illegal alien in America, pack your bags now and get out or we're coming for you. That's what I think he ought to say. But that's just me. You may have some other thoughts. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Right now, they're getting ready to have the funeral for the fallen firefighter, Corey Compatori. Did you see last night when they brought his firefighter uniform onto the stage? President Trump goes over and just embraces it and kisses the helmet of this firefighter. Cut number 8.
But Corey, unfortunately, we have to use the past tense. He was incredible. He was a highly respected former fire chief, respected by everybody, was accompanied by his wife, Helen, incredible woman. I spoke to her today, devastated, and two precious daughters. He lost his life selflessly, acting as a human shield to protect them from flying bullets. He went right over the top of them and was hit. What a fine man he was.
It was. And just, again, so many powerful moments over the past 4 days. Truly a beautiful RNC gathering. Folks, I want to remind you this coming weekend, tomorrow, President Trump holding his first rally with J.D. Vance. It will be indoors inside an arena. We hope and pray that security is tight. I will be anchoring the Newsmax coverage of that event, and you can watch it starting tomorrow evening. Be sure to check out social media as well. I'll have the exact times for you. But I've got to tell you, if you haven't already done so, head over to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. You're going to see all sorts of very important information on how you can become an owner of Newsmax by purchasing preferred shares. That's pre-IPO. So you can go online, read Newsmax's memo. Forbes magazine says Newsmax is now a news powerhouse, and the ratings are just unbelievable. So many people departing Fox and embracing Newsmax. So you can buy shares. You can actually do it with a credit card. All you have to do is go to NewsmaxInvest.com to see if, in fact, you are eligible. Again, that's NewsmaxInvest.com. All right, coming up, we're going to be talking to Liz Peek. She has a brand-new column out over at The Hill. Also, Congressman Tim Burchett has some very disturbing information about the investigation over the security breaches during Trump's rally last week. So we're going to be talking with him as well. It is also Open Line Friday. Your opportunity to have your say today, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Senses, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, welcome everybody. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy Friday to you. If you're stuck in an airport, thoughts and prayers to you. It's going to be a long day. As a matter of fact, I was reading somewhere, some poor guy, he's a delegate from Florida. He says he's thinking about just renting a car and making the 20-hour trip back home. So that's how bad it is out there. Anyway, if you're going to get stuck in an airport, wouldn't you rather be stuck in an airport with conservatives? Yes. I'm going to be nice this hour. I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to a good friend of this program, one of the great columnists in America, Liz Peek. Liz, hope you're doing well today.
I am. Thank you very much. It's gotten a little cooler here, so we're all kind of giving thanks for that because the last week was hideous.
I'm trying to figure this out. You know, in Memphis, you don't breathe. You scoop in the air with the humidity, and it's.
Exactly.
I walked outside. I'm like, whoa, what happened here? I like this. Thank you, global warming. So, Liz, I know you have a couple of great stories up, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts. The latest coming out now is that Joe Biden is not backing down here. Are you surprised by this news?
Well, I am because the pressure on him is intense. The question is, who is it who's not backing down? Is it really Joe Biden or the people around him? I would guess it's a collection of both. But I also would tell you that a lot of the stuff that you've seen online, in particular, about this group or that, talking to him and saying this and that and so forth, I think it's a lot of manufactured leaks and stories that have been planted to get him to withdraw, and he isn't. So, it's an amazing thing playing out in real time. It's pretty interesting to watch. But both sides are using the media to kind of put their narrative out there. And I think you have to be very careful about what you believe, what you see and what you believe right now.
That's actually a good word. And you're right. And we've been down this road a number of times, and we know that operatives, these political operatives, love using the media to get messages to the other side. They're saying that the circle around Biden is so tight. They're just so few people. You wonder if that messaging is actually getting into Biden. We don't know. Do you really think he's actually aware enough to be able to understand what's going on here?
I don't know. I think he's aware enough to understand what his close, tight circle is telling him. Are they telling him that a new CBS poll has Trump up by 5 points? I have no idea. Are they really relating to him how people reacted to his NAACP speech, which, by the way, I thought was shockingly bad.
Yes.
And kind of right in line with how he looked during the debate. And I have to say also the clips of him going in, getting out of the car, going into the plane, later exiting the plane. I mean, he looked in trouble to me. And, I'm also very skeptical that this guy has COVID, because what did we hear for years, literally, was if you had COVID and you didn't wear a mask, you were a criminal. He's not wearing a mask. So what does that tell you? I mean, he apparently is feeling perfectly okay being in a car with his driver, shaking hands with people. What does that tell you? I mean, I really am not sure what's going on with Joe Biden. I'm not sure he has COVID. He might, certainly, and I hope he recovers quickly. But it's all completely mysterious.
Liz, I want to get your reaction to the RNC. I thought it was one of the best political conventions I've seen. It was really well done.
Yeah, it was excellent from beginning to end. It had humor, it had grace, it had dignity. It had a lot of really moving testimonials about things that have happened to average Americans that really put them in the spotlight. Obviously, the Gold Star families was really compelling. And I thought last night, everything was going great until Trump spoke for an hour and 45 minutes or whatever it was. But no, I thought it was an excellent convention. And, you know, even people at CNN, the New York Times, et cetera, had to admit, I mean, it was so unified, so on message, and so pumped up about Donald Trump. It was very, I mean, you couldn't make that up. It was amazing.
Now, Liz, I will forgive you if you don't know this. I don't take you as a professional wrestling fan, but the
thank you.
The significance of that Hulk Hogan moment and when he ripped his shirt off, I think every man of a certain age in America became a Republican last. If they were not already, they're going to go and vote. But again, it's the humor of it all. And even in President Trump's speech last night, I think somewhere in the first 45 minutes, there were some really nice, funny lines. And he talked about, you know, when he had the immigration graphs up and it was just a very funny night, but also really poignant, too.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, honestly, Todd, what I found most interesting over the last several days, and people probably will mock me for this, but Donald Trump looks different. I've never seen him smile as genuinely and look as genuinely happy as he did when Hulk Hogan was roaring and bellowing and so forth. I mean, he was having a great time, and you almost never see Trump with his guard down like that. I mean, he smiles from time to time, but this was, I thought it was really a different look, a really relaxed and sort of embracing life look. I mean, we're all trying to read into all this, what it means. But, you know, if you've just almost died and you feel like you have been spared, I do think it's, you know, people always say that really changes your perspective. It really makes you appreciate every day and stuff. And I just thought the stuff with his family, it was all very humanizing, right? And I'm so happy about it because the left has created this gargoyle of retribution and vengeance and thundering malevolence. And sometimes he does look like that. So I was really happy that people saw a different Donald Trump. And you know, it's high time because, look, if you're an all curious person and you've been fed all this narrative, you got to ask yourself, why did people do business with him for all these years? Even after he declares bankruptcy, people still want to lend him money. They still want to go play golf with him. And guess what? Because he's got a lot of friends and people like to be with him. I mean, there's a reason for that. You know, it's not because he's such a horrible person. It's because he's fun and generous and altogether good company. So, you know, I hate what the left has done to this man. And I'll tell you, too, without going on forever, I mean, last night he went on too long, without a doubt. It got boring and it got tiresome and repetitive. You know what, though? He has been through so much, Todd. If he wanted to talk for 6 hours, so what? I mean, he had it. It was his party, his convention. And honestly, I think everybody in that room just has such sympathy for him on so many levels. And I do. I mean, I think he's been unfairly treated by this country and our establishment.
And I think it even jarred some of the folks in, you know, over at CNN. I watched a lot of their coverage and it was just as awful as you could imagine. But there were moments when you could see that they were being impacted and moved. And I think I think everybody on that panel, when the Afghanistan families came out, that they said it was just politically devastating just to hear those stories and to hear that President Biden has never mentioned their names. And for me, again, that moment when the crowd started reciting the names. I mean,
yeah,
I can't.
Yeah.
I have to imagine there were a lot of allergy and pollen issues in homes across America this week.
No, I totally agree. I thought it was gripping that whole night. And I can't remember all the people who spoke, but I thought it was excellent. I think that was leading up to J.D. Vance. Wasn't that his night? I think it was.
Yeah.
And I thought he did an excellent
job. Sure did.
But, you know, the other thing you come away with was, wow, were there a lot of Americans and Republican Americans who just really knocked your socks off? I mean, this is a party that has a deep bench. I think the future looks incredibly bright because there are a lot of leaders here. Not just J.D. Vance, but a lot of the other people who spoke, like Marco Rubio and Doug Burgum and others. But, you know, they, to a person, they were uplifting, they were positive about the future, and they were incredibly bright and articulate and all the rest of that. So good for them. And I thought it kind of all came together in a great way. And by the way, this is Laura Trump, right? This is the RNC. And everyone was scornful of her taking over with other people, the management of it. Boy, if this is any indication of how they're going to run the campaign, things look pretty good.
It looks great. Now, that being said, there was a moment at the very end, and I'm not sure if a lot of folks caught this, but that beautiful opera singer, I realized, first of all, that was a live performance that was being done there at the very end. That song appears at the very end of a movie called The Sum of All Fears. And it's a political thriller about Nazis in Europe trying to foment war between Russia and the United States. And at the very end of that movie, as the Russian president and the American president are signing their peace accord, that song begins to play as all of the traitors and the Nazis are meet their maker in very horrible ways. And so a lot of people are starting to pick up on maybe there is some retribution coming down the road. So I don't think that song was just coincidental.
Or maybe it was to indicate that there is a peace treaty in the future and we'll solve this Ukraine war.
Oh, Liz Peek. All right. Well, there you go. We will see. It's going to be a lot of fun between now and Election Day, though.
I
know.
I hope so. I mean, a lot of drama, that's for sure.
It's true. A lot of drama. All right, Liz, great reporting as always, and we'll get you back on soon.
I look forward to that. Thanks so much for having me.
All right,
take care.
Liz Peek, everybody. We got to get her some WWE videos. Maybe we can. Oh, my goodness. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Are you feeling good? Did you wake up today after that speech last night? And well, actually this morning, did you wake up today feeling more optimistic about America? Do you feel a little bit more hopeful about America? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern Radio Show. Coming up, we're going to be talking with Congressman Tim Burchett, and he's going to share new intel on the attempted assassination of the president. I know many of you may have some questions that you would like to ask, and we're going to let you do that. Again, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So several headlines. First of all, CrowdStrike going down and taking down much of the global digital infrastructure with them. Folks, it's moments like this when you have to step back and you wonder, are we really better off with as much digital as we have in our lives right now? This outage has caused havoc in companies across the world. And you do wonder, is it, you know, again, it's a digital world. I get it. But you have to respect those people who still have landlines. You still have to respect people who don't do their business online. They don't do their banking online. But the reality is a lot of these companies, they do. So 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. The Trump would-be assassin, Thomas Matthew Crooks, we now know had two cell phones with him and three encrypted accounts overseas. And we need to find out exactly what was going on there. Were there other people involved? Do you believe that this guy acted alone, that the 20-year-old acted alone? Or do you believe this is part of possibly some sort of a broader conspiracy involving Iran? You know, Iran has been trying to get Trump, which is why the president has had a full Secret Service detail, which, again, makes absolutely no sense. Now, keep in mind, the new reporting on this is that most of the people responsible for the security around Donald Trump at that rally were not Secret Service agents. Now, we know that a couple of weeks before the rally, that word came down that the Iranians were trying to stage another hit on Trump's life. So there were already heightened concerns. So why would you not send Trump to that rally with his entire Secret Service team? Why would you not do that? So is it the possibilities here, and there are several. Number one, it's gross malfeasance, which I think we can all agree that definitely happened. You know, the other part of this was, this an intentional act here? Did the Iranians, were they involved in this attack? Were they using this shooter as a patsy, kind of like Lee Harvey Oswald? Or was there some sort of involvement within the government itself? And that's the one that nobody really wants to talk about. And you've got all these lawmakers out there saying, well, we shouldn't be talking like that because we need to wait for all the information to come out. Okay, well, we're 6 days out of the event. Where are people? Where is the information? Why aren't the answers coming out? Congressman Mike Waltz telling Jesse Waters on Fox News that according to the FBI briefing they had, and we're going to ask Congressman Burchett about this coming up, that crooks had multiple encrypted accounts. They said more is expected to come out on Monday. And the revelation of the overseas accounts is about the same time that they heard about the Iranian assassination plot against Trump. Jesse Waters asked if the two are connected. The intel agents, this is according to the Gateway pundit, the intel agencies leaked an Iranian assassination plot story to CNN to throw chaos into the camp and distract from the Secret Service's failures. So Gateway pundit seems to think that the Iranian side of this is a big nothing burger. But then again, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that Joe Biden and the military-industrial complex has been pretty hell-bent on getting us into yet another armed conflict, so they could use that as a way of justifying an attack on Iran and going to a full-blown war in the Middle East. So that's why there need to be immediate hearings, and we don't need four or five different committees holding hearings. We need one committee hearing. We need Republicans, Democrats in the room. We don't need any political nonsense, no fundraising stuff. Just get to the bottom of what happened. And by the way, both sides do that. Both sides do that. But let's get to the bottom of all of this and find out what happened and who was responsible. One of two things, well, possibly three. It was either an international plot, it was a plot within the government, or it was a complete breakdown of the Secret Service security plan. That's what we're dealing with here. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Folks, head over to the website, ToddStearns.com. Be sure to check out all of our great resources. You're going to get our free podcast. You're going to get our free newsletter. Great opportunities for you to stay informed and engaged. And also be sure to follow us on all of our social media platforms as well. Hang tight. We'll be right back. All right. So the New York Post is reporting that Donald Trump's would-be assassin, his last search on social media, or online rather, was for pornography. And this is according to a senior law enforcement officer who gained access to the 20-year-old's encrypted Samsung phone. Initial attempts to bust into the Android device failed, at the field office had to be flown to Quantico for agents to finally get a look at it. Isn't that weird that they weren't able to to decrypt the phone? Again, this is a 20-year-old who supposedly was not all that well knowledgeable about computers. The only other recent activity the FBI found on the phone were text messages from Crook's parents asking where he was. And those messages started around 1 o'clock and continued through the afternoon. Now, we also know there was a second phone there with about two dozen or so contacts. I would be very curious to know who was listed in the contact list. 901-260-5926 is our number. Let's go to the phone lines. Connor from Boston listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Connor. What's on your mind?
Todd, my friend, I'm going to tell you. Number one, you know, I believe that there was a lot of stuff going on with that crazy person that tried to take out our great president. But the real reason what I called in for today was the speech we saw last night with President Trump was probably one of the best ones I've ever seen in my life. You saw a true president. You saw somebody who's ready to go. And coming from what we've had for the past 4 years with this, I don't even know if you would call him a president, President Biden, I think America has a hunger for real leadership now. And we saw that last night. And it just the whole Republican convention was just so exciting to see. And it's just we know hope is on the horizon here.
Yeah, I love the New York Post headline, A New Dawn. Trump preaches unity, exactly. Vows to heal divide. Look, he got rave reviews in just about every major newspaper in the country this morning. It's driving the liberals nuts.
Yep. And I'm going to tell you something else. Reagan said it was morning in America back when he was running. President Brandon said it was a dark winter. Well, now it's springtime in America when President Trump resumes office, and It cannot come soon enough.
I like that. I like that. Connor, always great hearing from you. Thanks for calling in, my friend. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend from the 2nd Congressional District in Tennessee, Congressman Tim Burchett joins us. Hey, Congressman, how are you?
Well, I'm stuck here in Milwaukee currently. Hopefully, I'm going to get out pretty soon.
Well, I was hoping. Look, here's the deal. It's a cyber thing, and everybody's stuck. The good news is you're stuck with a lot of conservatives, hopefully.
Well, actually, I'm at the Harley-Davidson Museum, and I was a little angry that they didn't give Ronald Reagan more credit for saving Harley Davidson. Willie G. Davidson, they said that, you know, the lawyers saved Harley Davidson, and he said no. In fact, Ronald Reagan saved Harley Davidson. Uh-huh. So next time I see some of those man bun wearing kids that run Harley Davidson, I'm going to express my displeasure with them.
I love it, Congressman. A lot to unravel. We have some grave concerns about new details coming out about this shooter. What can you tell us? What have you guys learned in Congress so far?
Well, they haven't really briefed us on much or any at all, actually. It's all been pretty much a cover-up, as the way I see it. But what we're finding out now is the kid maybe visited the site 5 times. So he did more surveillance of the site than the Secret Service did, actually, which is scary, the fact that they know this guy was there 5 times, and yet no one put him on a list. Nobody started asking questions. And I think you're going to find out more. We'll find a little bit from the hearing. I got a feeling they're going to give us the runaround at the hearing Monday, but we are, in fact, Chairman Comer has actually subpoenaed the lady who allegedly runs the Secret Service. So we'll see what happens there. She needs to be fired. We got to know. You know, my big question is, how in the world does, first of all, how does this happen? But how does the president, this guy was there 20, 30 minutes beforehand. They had him with a rangefinder. And Todd, there's only two reasons to have a rangefinder. It's how far to hit, you're going to hit a golf ball and sight in a rifle. And there was no dadgum golf course there, obviously. So, you know, this thing is a nightmare. And every time this administration delays or tries to lead us down the wrong path, the word gets out. It feeds the fuel of a conspiracy. And I'm leaning in that direction myself right now, because this administration has done everything to obstruct justice, to lie to the American people. And this is just, you know, I told somebody they Washington, these Marxists in D.C. are going to take us without a shot. And I said, and now they fired the first shot, literally.
Congressman, is it possible? And again, it may be that they are, you know, just clearly incompetent here. But I do wonder if there's something more nefarious going on.
Yes, sir. That is a valid thought, Todd, because you've got all the makings of that. It's always a lone gunman. They're always somebody that keeps to themselves, and they're an obscure person until they're not. You know, you look at John F. Kennedy, Lee Harvey Oswald. He was a nut. Now he was acting on his own. Now they've come out to find there's no way anybody could make that shot with an Italian rifle that's called a Mannlicher that was listed. I've had one of those, actually. It is called the gun that never won a war. And you got Saran Sirhan, obscure little foreign kid, for some reason decides to shoot Bobby Kennedy, and even Bobby Kennedy's son, who's running for president, doesn't think Saran Sirhan did it. And then you got Martin Luther King killed by a guy who was allegedly standing like on a 1 foot in a bathtub and 1 foot on the commode and making a crazy shot through some trees. And then there's just a lot of things that go on in these things. And I just, it's not ever what it seems. And if this guy's a lone nut who got through the best security team in the world, not in Pennsylvania, but the world, and was able to almost take out Donald Trump, we got a real problem.
A huge problem. And I've spoken on stage at a couple of these Trump rallies, and even as a speaker, you go through a serious security checkpoint. I mean, this makes no sense to me.
No question. You've been there. You know, if a balloon pops, you never see them come out on time, and you know as well as I do the reason they don't come out on time is because there's a person there who they're not sure who they are in the crowd, or there's been a security breach, there's a suspicious package, a truck backfires. I mean, it's just all a litany of other things that's always delayed because of those reasons. They're taking the precautions. Donald Trump was allowed to come out on stage after this guy was spotted. On the stage, he'd been there like 20 minutes, and yet this. Anyway,
Congressman, are you confident it was only one shooter involved, or do you believe there may have been others?
I'm worried about that, and the judgment the DEI hires, the folks that they had guarding the president were not the people that had him when he walked into the convention. I can tell you that. The iconic shot where the president's got his hand in the air and saying, fight, fight, fight. That should have never been allowed to happen. You shouldn't have seen any pink. You should have seen any skin at that point of Donald J. Trump. You should have had a wall of bodies around him. And that short person that was in front of him, he was head and shoulders above that person. And that should have never, that person should have never been there. And we're worried, too. This is this kind of inner workings, but the folks that were guarding him, some of them might not have been technically Secret Service. They might have been Homeland Security, which Mayorkas oversees it. And there's a question about the sniper team, and I'm not certain the picture that everybody sees of the guy standing up on the building that was they're claiming messed up and should have taken the shot. That you know it looks like he shot, but I don't see anything, any muzzle flash or anything off that picture. I think it's another sniper that took him out is what I think. And that guy might not have even fired a shot, the one everybody's mad at. So there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. We'll get to the bottom of it, but go ahead.
Do you have, those concerns that there may have been more than one shooter. We're now getting word that there were some encrypted devices that coming from Congressman Mike Waltz, that the guy had some encrypted accounts overseas. Can you give us any guidance on that?
Yeah, there's question of that. And that'll all be everybody. There's a lot of leakers and there's a lot of fake information out there. And so we just got to go through it. And that should be what Secret Service, they should be doing. But you got to realize these are the people that were investigating the cocaine that was found in the White House, that little bitty bag that was about as big as less than the length of your thumb, that was found in another area of the White House, was moved to another lockbox in the area, the only area that didn't have a camera, that the door on the lockbox had not been jimmied. And so, you know, and that you check out a key to get, and then they had it narrowed down to 200 people, and then they called on a Wednesday, and they called off the investigation on a Friday. This is that same Secret Service. So, and the media allows this to go on. The national media allows this kind of stuff to happen that you would never see under Trump. They would have pitched a fit under Trump for this kind of stuff.
I'm just curious.
That's who is overseeing this investigation.
What do you think happened Saturday?
I don't know. I don't want to say what I think because I...
Go ahead and say it, Congressman. I think we're all thinking it.
I think it's a conspiracy. I think this kid was allowed to be up there by somebody, and I'll go back to politics, okay, a little bit. AOC, there might have been 20 or 30 of these wild Marxists that ran for office when she did, because we came into office at the same time. And they put all these people out there, and they hit a home run with her for the left wing, never thinking that any of these people would ever get elected. But they try. I just think this is just too easy. They put a bunch of people out there, and they get the power of suggestion, whatever. This kid was a nut, probably, and somebody put something in his head that this would be the thing to do. You're getting even with everybody kind of thing, and you'll never be able to prove it. You'll never be able to prove it unless it's a deathbed confession, and that'd be 20 years from now. Nobody's going to be worried about it. So I think there's more to it. Will we get to the bottom of it? I doubt it. Because look at the Kennedy assassination. Here it is over 60 years. It happened about a year before I was born, and they still won't open the files.
It's unacceptable, and it's sobering to see all of this play out.
That's why they don't want Donald Trump in office. They do not want Donald Trump in office because they know he's not going to take the top level. You know, when Vivek said fire 75% of these people, and he was serious, I say that's a good start. I mean, you know, places like the State Department, shut the whole thing down, man. Fire them all and then rehire who we need to run those departments because we've and don't give them any warning. Walk in, expire their cards. They can't walk in the building and cause any more mischief and have somebody bring their stuff out in a box because we will have a real problem on our hands. And this is it was an attempted coup, maybe by one, maybe a conspiracy of others, but there's some real problems.
An attempted coup against Donald Trump to take out Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, of course he wasn't in leadership, but you know, they realize that Joe Biden is not going to be there. And the Democrats vote for an idea. We vote for a person. They vote for the programs, the three-step, the crazy socialist agenda, the woke men in dresses recruiting for our military, degrading this country. Because down deep, some of these puppet masters, they want to destroy this country. They hate the Todd Starnes of the world. They hate's not even strong enough for what they think of me. And, you know, they want to destroy it and build it back in their woke-utopia image. Mm. And ultimately, that's what their goal is. And they don't care about people. This is just another step in the process.
Well, Congressman,
again, I'll probably never be able to prove it, but my gut tells me, and my gut rarely steers me in the wrong direction.
And Congressman, on that note, we've got to leave it there. Appreciate a very sobering reality of what we're facing here. And we're going to get you back on sometime very soon. Hope you get back to Tennessee in the next day or so.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. And there are no coincidences in this game. No coincidences.
Including what's happening right now with the cyber issues.
100%. I was going to get to that, but we ran out of time. Hey, I love you, brother. Thank you for putting the truth out there.
All right, you got it, Congressman.
If we're over the target, that's why they're screaming.
Yes, sir. All right, Congressman Tim Burchett, everybody, somewhere in Wisconsin and hopefully making his way back home to Tennessee. We will talk more about this. We got to take a break, though. This is the Todd Stern Show. After listening to Tim Burchett, I'm ready to get off the grid. Jeez, Lou. More of this coming up next week. Folks, it's just unbelievable. And if I were you, I would listen to people like Tim Burchett. The guy's a straight shooter, and he's telling it like it is out there. You may not like it, but he says what's on his mind. And we need more people like that in our nation's capital. And I really do hope come Monday we get some more intel on what happened. But as you heard from the congressman, he says all of this is connected, including this big IT outage today. He said, I don't think it's a coincidence. By the way, he's not the only person talking about that. So it's all there's something going on here, and we're going to have to get to the bottom of it. But I think there's something about getting off the grid, if you know what I mean. Don't forget tonight, 5 o'clock, watch the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. Then tomorrow, I'll be anchoring our Newsmax television coverage of the Trump rally. This is the first time Trump and J.D. Vance together on stage at a rally. This will be inside, and I think that's a pretty smart move. Let's just hope and pray that we have good Secret Service protection for the president this weekend. This is just insane. We're going to get to the bottom of this. I can promise you that, folks. So, again, a lot happening this weekend. We're going to keep you updated. We'll be on Biden watch as well. Reports he may or may not pull out of the race this weekend. We're going to let you know about that, too. All right. Don't forget ToddStearns.com. Head over there, everybody. Go check out the website. Sign up for our free newsletter and our free podcast. You'll be able to listen to all 3 hours of the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, folks, we got to get out of here. Have a great rest of your Friday. And whatever you do, folks, you be sure to go to church this weekend.